All right, open up your Bibles to Psalms chapter 112. We're going to talk about blessings of the righteous. And he has a fourfold happiness for his people. He wants his people to be happy. He wants his people to be prosperous. He wants his people to be healthy, whole. He wants them to be full and well. There's a sad, sad misconception that somehow you bring glory to God in poverty. And that's just not true. There's so much confusion about this. He doesn't look poorly on people that are poor. He loves them. He wants them to be prosperous. They have to get his word in them to get that way. He doesn't look negatively on rich people. There's a lot of very wealthy Christians that do a lot of really good work. I read a number one time. I think Kenneth Copeland, this has been several years back, had actually spent $1 billion getting the Word of God out, supporting different ministries and missionaries and helping people all over the world. One of the coolest things was there were some missionaries that were going up into the Arctic, somewhere up in the no man's land. And anyway, they crossed paths with Kenneth Copeland, and he said, "Well, do you need anything?" They said, "Yeah." They got these machines that roll on tracks, and they can go out into the ice age out there to reach these different villages to share the gospel with people. He bought them. I don't know how much one of those cost, but he bought several of them. But see, that's what happens when God puts money into people's hands. They disperse it. You know, there's the Chick-fil-A guy. He keeps 10%. He gives 90% away. Laterno equipment, that guy keeps 10%, and he gives 90% away. There's some people that give fanatically. Let's look at Psalm chapter 112. It says, "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that fears the Lord, that delights greatly in his commandments." So there's the first two things he said to do is praise the Lord. It's easy to praise God when you're on the mountain, you know, when everything is going your way and everything's working and everything's clicking. You got plenty of finances, you're feeling good, and things are going well. It's easy to praise God. But he still wants you to praise God when you're in the valley. See, the Bible does tell us to offer up the sacrifice of praise. See, if it wasn't a sacrifice, it'd be easy. But it's when you're down in the dumps and you're struggling and things aren't working well and you're having a hard time and maybe you don't feel good, that's when you offer up the sacrifice of praise. He wants to do that because praise will help you. It's not just for him, it's for your benefit. You know, most of the things he does is for your benefit. If you really look at it, it's for your benefit. One of the neatest things that I learned was about praise and worship was when you clap your hands, he wants you to clap your hands. Did you know that there's a lot of very important nerve endings in your hands? And when you clap your hands together, it invigorates you, and actually pumps life through your body. He said, while you're praising me, clap your hands. It'll make you feel better. And he said, to praise the Lord. And then he said, blessed is the man that fears the Lord, that delights greatly in his commandments. So here we have God's sanction on wealth. Wealth and riches for the righteous man. So how foolish is it to condemn riches and class rich men as wicked just because of their prosperity? Wealth is a blessing if used as God intended. It was God's original plan that all men be prosperous and use all things in creation for their own good and God's glory. It is still God's purpose. When the Messiah reigns, every man will sit under his own vine and fig tree, which indicates there will be universal peace and prosperity. We will get there. Here's the thing. There's a lot of people waiting to get to heaven or waiting to get to the millennial reign when everything's going to be all right, you know, and then everybody's going to live in prosperity and peace. You can have it right now. Remember, he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. So right now, we can have peace. We can have joy. We can have prosperity. It's ours. Our job is to just receive it. You're not going to earn it. You can only receive it. You got to receive it from him. I mean, so how do you do that? Thank him for it. Find a promise in the Bible. Remember, the promises in the Bible are yea and amen. As far as God's concerned, he's already given it to you. Remember, he's already freely given you all things with Christ Jesus. He's given you this whole world. It's yours. Everything in it, it's yours. Our job is to receive it. Remember, Jesus gave us a really, really important clue when he was at the tomb of Lazarus when he said, I thank you, Father, for hearing my prayers. He thanked his way into a miracle. We can thank our way. So when we find a promise in the Bible, don't ask him for it. Thank him for it. We have a habit of asking for the things that we need, because the Bible does say, if you ask, you shall receive. If you knock, it'll be opened unto you. Right? Isn't that what the Bible says? Well, what if you just thank him for what he's already given you? Instead of, wouldn't it be kind of irritating if you bought your kid a brand new bike and he walked into the room and asked you for that bike and you said, yeah, there it is. And the next day he come into the room and asked you for the bike. Say, yes, it's right there, take it. 3 years down the road, he's still walking in the room asking you for that bike. And he's never swung a leg over the seat and took a ride on it. And all the while it was his. You know, the prodigal son, he knew he had something. He went and asked his father for his inheritance. He took it and squandered it. But then he came home and he was restored. But his brother got mad and he said, I stayed right here and I worked. And you never killed a fatted calf for me. You never even killed a kid. You never threw a party for me. And his dad said, son, while you was here with me, all that I had was in your hands. Why didn't you just take some of it and have fun? There's a lot of Christians in the same boat. A lot of them get mad when they see somebody get blessed, or they get mad when they see somebody prosper. They get mad when they see somebody have good things happen to them. All the while, God had it laid out there for them. They just didn't reach out and grab it. That's our job, is to receive it. God's already given it to us. Verse 2 says, His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The greatness of the upright shall be blessed. Verse 3 says, Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. When you get born again, you get made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Pure and simple. That's just something that happened to you when you said, Jesus be my Lord. Automatically, you got put into right standing with God. Your righteousness will endure forever. A lot of people think you lose it. You know, you couldn't earn it, so how can you... You couldn't make yourself righteous, so how are you going to make yourself unrighteous? We got to be squared up on these new creation realities. We got to keep these on the forefront of our thinking. You're a new creature in Christ. You've been justified freely by the shed blood of Jesus. And it's all by grace. It's because of what somebody else did. Abraham cut a covenant with God, and they set this example up all the way through that covenant. God blessed Abraham, he blessed Isaac, he blessed all of them down through the centuries. Then they got into Egypt, and they got into bondage. And they were actually being held as slaves. What happened? The covenant didn't change. Their knowledge of the covenant did. Now we have Christians running around today that have no idea about all these promises being theirs because of what Jesus did. You know, there's some Christians running around that think that you don't qualify to be healed until you get to heaven. There's no sickness in heaven, so what do you need healing for there? Any healing you're going to get, you're going to have to get while you're down here on this earth. I have a real strong curiosity of why people would think that they would need money in heaven. I mean, when somebody builds a city and they use pure gold as pavement, I'm pretty sure money is probably not going to be a problem. So we're going to need it down here. And here's the thing about money. Some people just really look down on money. They don't want to be associated with it. Did you know that it costs money to get people born again? It literally costs money. It costs money to, you know, I'm sure one guy explained to me, said, well, if God wants somebody born again, he'll just send a Christian over there to get them born again. Said, yeah, that's the design. But out of maybe a congregation of 200 or 300 people, you may actually have 10 that are willing to go out there on a day-to-day basis and witness to somebody every day and actually get them born again. That's not a big number. The odds are, the percentage of people that actually will go witness and get people born again are real low. So then we have evangelists that we send out all over the place, and missionaries that we send out all over the place, but they can't get there on air. It takes gas to get them there. And then some of them go a lot of places, and it takes airplanes to get them there. And that's what really makes, that makes a lot of people mad when they see a preacher with an airplane. Man, he could have spent that money on helping people. He is spending that money on helping people. I explained to a guy one time, I said, I want my pastor to have an airplane. And he goes up into different places. He goes to places that nobody else wants to go. He flies up there, he does a Bible study with them, and he flies back. I said, why is that such a bad thing? You know. Well, some of them planes are pretty big, yeah. Some of those guys take a whole ministry with them. They take a whole praise and worship team. They take support staff. And I don't know how many Bibles and how much different things they take all the way across the world. It takes money. So wealth and riches shall be in his house. I noticed before I got born again, I was broke, broke, broke. And I noticed that once I got started getting a hold of the Word of God, finances started flowing. Sometimes freaky finances, you know, just out of nowhere that you couldn't even dream of. It's just stuff that God did. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A lot, you know, just because somebody's born again, or maybe even just because somebody's wealthy, doesn't mean that they're not going to get attacked. You know, Trump is a billionaire, and he gets attacked daily. Christians are going to get attacked. Jesus said they were going to get attacked. There's going to be tribulation in this world. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. There's always a light for us. You know, it's never lights out for a Christian. A Christian may get attacked, but there's always a light for them to run to. There's always a light for them to shine. When you get your mouth in gear and start pumping the Word of God into the atmosphere, that causes more light. Also, right there, it says that he is gracious and full of compassion. This is where the parting of the money comes into effect. God will bless you with money. You to be a blessing to somebody else. He doesn't want you to take that money and just sit on it and see how much of it you can save him. So when you get to heaven, you can show him how much you saved. Money's for spending. The compassion part is going to be dealt out to people. You know, there's a lot of hurting people running around. There's a lot of people that really have no certainty about tomorrow. We may not know about it, but when we do know about it, it's our job to take action and do something about it. That means we'll have to dig into our pocketbook and dig some of that cash that is a blessing from God and roll it out. It may be in the form of paying bills for them, maybe in the form of buying food, clothes, shelter, who knows? But that's the compassion part. You know, when Jesus had compassion on people, people's lives changed. A good man shows favor and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. That's the thing. God has planted you on this planet at this time and day for this special occasion that we call life. He wants you to flourish. He wants you to be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of living water, so that your roots will grow down in there deep and take on His nourishment and grow, and you can bloom out and produce fruit even during a drought. He wants your branches to be so beautiful that they grow over the neighbor's fence and drop some fruit in on them too. He doesn't want you to just be blessed for yourself. He wants you to be a blessing that's waiting for a place to happen. Yes, He wants you to be blessed, but He wants that blessing to go through you. He wants you to go bless somebody else. What happens when you bless somebody? One thing, even people that aren't born again, they'll find a way to thank God for you. You know, when somebody's really desperate and all of a sudden somebody shows up and helps them, they find a way to thank God. God gets glory. Also, the Bible tells us that it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. That's interesting. People know they've made mistakes. People know that they've done things wrong. But when somebody shows up and does something good for them, in spite of what they've done wrong, that gives God a chance to work in their lives. It says, surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. You know, you shall not be moved forever. You know, things are going to come against you. I promise you, things are going to come against you. But it's not going to be forever. God has not left you. It may be a challenge for a little bit, but it's not going to be forever. It will go away. And He remembers the righteous forever. See, sometimes people get this idea that God has forgotten them. I actually had a lady tell me one day here in town, said, God has wrote me off. I said, He did not. She said, that's not true. She said, no, He doesn't hear me. He doesn't want me. He doesn't love me. I said, that's just not true. And I couldn't get her head turned, and she died. She died convinced that God must be mad at her. See, this is why it's so important to pay attention to what you're hearing, pay attention to what you're reading. Pay attention. It would be a good idea to read the Bible for yourself. That's a good idea. And here's the reason. Read it so that the Holy Spirit has something to work with. He can bring all things to remembrance. But it's very important to believe what you read. All too often, people want to read what they believe. They only look for the things that they want to agree with. They'll find a verse in the Bible and they say, well, our church doesn't believe that. You need to take the Word of God over anything that your pastor may say. You need to take the Word of God over anything that your convention may say. And don't ever take anybody's word that goes against the grain of God. Goes against the Word of God. I actually had a lady tell me one time, said, well, we never believe a scripture unless the convention tells us it's okay to believe. Man, you're going to drown. Verse 7 says, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting the Lord. That's our verse right there for today. We hear about evil tidings almost every single day. If you look around, you know, they're coming up with some new pandemic every time you turn around. Have you noticed that this last one, it just freaked people completely out? Well, they'd been practicing on people. They'd been practicing on people. I remember when I was a kid, sleeping sickness hit. And everybody was kind of worried about sleeping sickness and acid rain and all these other things. And, you know, the frogs were going to die. If all the frogs die, the earth is going to go away. The ice is going to melt and it's going to drown us all. Do you see how we've been lied to all our lives? Now, we can choose one way or the other. And it's going to be our choice. We can choose to believe the report of the world, or we can choose to believe the report of the Lord. If our hearts are fixed and trusting in God, we're not going to be moved by the next big scare event. And I promise you, they have a next big scare event. Almost every time you turn around, somebody's talking about nuclear war. As if you're going to do anything about it. What happens if you just took your last breath today? You'd be in the presence of God immediately. How bad could that be? Jesus said, worrying will not add one cubit to your stature. Worrying won't do anything for you. Except for age you, give you sickness, cause you loss of sleep, but it won't help you. But he said, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid. His heart is established. How are we going to get our heart established? The way we get our hearts established on anything is by meditation. When we find something in the Word of God that the Holy Spirit strikes upon us, that you need to learn about that, then you meditate on that. You get that in you, and then it's established in you. Basically, you get a rhema word. You get a revelation of that word. You know, Jesus asked Peter, said, who do you say that I am? And Jesus said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, well, Peter, blessed are you, son of Barjona. You didn't get that from man, you got that from God. He got a revelation of who Jesus was. Right there. He understood it. He had it in his heart. his heart was established. From that point on, his heart was established. Jesus is Lord. Verse 9 says, he is dispersed, he is given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. It's important that we let God do the exalting. We let God do the promoting. We let God, if you are to be known for something, let God bring that about. You know, there's too many people that go do something nice for somebody and they say, look what I did. That's not the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to go do something nice for people, and then God gets the glory for it. And then if he wants it known, it'll be known. It will be known. Well, thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for everything that you do for us. Father, we thank you for healing us. We thank you for prospering us. We thank you for protecting us. We thank you for taking care of us and always watching out for us. We thank you that even though we fall asleep, we know that you never sleep and that your eyes are always upon us. We praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.